This is an interview with Corrine Noble of 1016 Hayes Park in Kalamazoo. First of all, maybe you could start by telling when you first became acquainted with parchment and how you did become acquainted with parchment.
Well, when I finished my course at Parsons Business School, they sent me to parchment to apply for the position. And apparently the vacancy was in the purchasing office. And that's where I started.
What year was that?
That was in 1923.
And where was the purchasing office at that time?
It was in the, what was then called the Welfare Hall. It was down at Mill Number 1, up over what was the stock room, and there were, and the garage, I believe, was there.
There were fire trucks in there, too, I believe, at one time.
Yeah, I believe so. We were.
How many people were in the purchasing department when you first came in 23?
Well, counting myself, it would be 5.
So anybody that we particularly would recognize?
I would imagine so. Mr. Amasa Brown was the purchasing agent, and his assistants were Arthur Fitzgerald and Phineas Wheat, and Jack Cook was the receiving clerk, and I was the secretary. Does that make 5?
I think so. When you first came, there wasn't, you lived in Kalamazoo.
Yes, I did.
And you came back and forth. How did you get back and forth normally?
The company ran a bus from Kalamazoo to Parchment in the morning.
But was it just in the morning, or did they bring you back at night, too?
That I can't remember.
Do you remember who the bus driver was?
Yeah, Alfred Conrad.
Allie Conrad?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Remember what they charged on that bus?
No, I really don't.
Uh-huh. And you said, the interurban was a possibility for getting back and forth.
Yes.
Could you go out in the morning and then come back at night on the interurban?
I believe so, but I don't recall ever using it at night.
When you first came out to the mill in 23 there, what kind of a village was it in Parchment? How many stores do you think there were at that time?
Well, very few, probably not more than 4 or 5, I would say.
Which ones were they?
Well, there was a drugstore.
Do you know, you remember who owned that? Was that Schreiner?
Yes.
What's his first name? Well, there was a drugstore. We don't recall Schreiner's first name, although he owned it. Couple of groceries.
And the Greens, there was Red, A&P store was run by Joe Green. And then there was Ralston and Phillips. That was a grocery and meat market.
Did that red and white store across the street, was that in operation at that time, or did that come later?
Well, I think that came a little later. That wasn't one of the first ones there, mm-hmm. as I recall. Yeah.
How about restaurants? Were there any restaurants in Parchment at that time?
I don't recall any when I first came. Of course, I didn't get around the village too much at that time.
You remember when that Hudson Manor was built? Was that I know there was a restaurant in the Hudson Manor.
It must have been in the 30s, I would say.
Where did you a little later? You did move out to Parchment.
Yes.
And was that after you were
that
married?
That was about 1930.
1930. Uh-huh. Was that after you were married?
Yes,
shortly after. Jack Noble.
Yes. It was one of the company-owned houses.
On what street?
On Sanford Street.
On Sanford Street?
Right.
I see. Now, at that time, Jack was the head pipe fitter in the
mill.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, in that time also, I think, you were familiar with the church out there. Can you remember anything about it, anything they did or any particular things of interest that they might have engaged in?
Well, they had some interesting services, as I recall. Reverend Grattan was the first minister, I believe, and Reverend Walker followed him.
You joined when Reverend Walker was
right.
Was the minister. I suppose that you can recall quite a few dinners and ones and things of that kind.
Yes.
Was that community house at that time operating as a cafeteria with the cafeteria in the basement? When you
not
first,
right away
not
when
right
I came,
away?
But shortly afterward, mm-hmm. as I recall, Harry Sebring was the one who ran the cafeteria.
With his wife.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he lived in the community house.
Yes.
I believe that, who else lived in that? Do you recall who the other people were that lived in there?
At one time, Bob Kane lived there.
I'm sure he did, because I remember
uh-huh.
seeing Bob Kane's little baby out on the porch. See, yeah. In those days, there's a porch on
yes.
each side.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Mm-hmm.
One of my recollections, seeing the baby in a baby carriage out
mm-hmm.
there on the
mm-hmm.
on the porch getting some fresh air. I don't know who lived on the other side, except that I've heard that Doc Pullen lived there first.
Oh, I believe he did before
mm-hmm.
he built his house.
Yes.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm.
Later on, of course, Marshall Rothenberg and his wife
yeah, after...
took over.
Yeah, after Harry left.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the community affairs that you can recall? I know that the mill... Now, it was Don McDowell in the... He was in personnel, wasn't he?
Personnel, yes. Uh-huh.
And I know that the mill... And Don had a lot to do with it. It put on a lot of programs over
he
in the
was
park.
He used to have charge of the music mm-hmm. and in the church, too. Mm-hmm. And they had quartet and quite a lot of music.
Mm-hmm. What do you recall any... You worked quite closely with Art Fitzgerald in the purchasing department.
Mm-hmm.
He was quite active in community affairs.
Well,
do you remember any of the things that happened in connection with that?
Well, in later years, he was on the city commission, as I recall,
mm-hmm.
and he had charge of the street work, I know.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any recollection of how the park, Kindleberger Park, was started?
Well, that property belonged to the Kindlebergers, and they gave it as a park. And then the different departments in the mill proceeded to develop it, ran pipelines and made the bleachers, and things like that.
Was that volunteer work in the mill?
Yeah,
it was all volunteer work. And it ended up with a real fine park and beautiful baseball diamond. Did you have any recollection of the baseball team, the teams that, that Parchman had? Were you interested in that at that time?
Yes, we used to go. We used to attend a lot of the baseball team, or baseball games, and Mr. Kindleberger, I recall, arranged for some real big teams to come in there after the ball diamond was first built there.
He was very interested in promoting a lot of community activities.
Oh yes, I should say.
Now, you were there during the Depression. Did that affect the purchasing department any particularly?
No.
Didn't.
I don't recall at all.
I know Parchman actually went through the Depression a lot better than any other company in Kalamazoo.
I believe the mill was put on shorter hours, but everybody had work all through. Mm-hmm.
I don't, in that respect, we can practically say that the Depression didn't affect Parchman too much. It didn't affect industry or business in Parchman or the families in Parchman.
No.
One of the things that might be of interest is how many automobiles there might have been in the early days when you first came out there in 1923.
Well, I don't hardly believe I could guess that. Most of the people in the sales department, the sales managers, had automobiles, and they were very accommodating about taking the employees back and forth to work, as there was no regular bus service at that time.
What about the other people in the mill and the people in the other people in the office? How did they get to work?
Well, they must have grouped up in carpools, because I know there weren't too many automobiles around then.
Probably very few autos in that at that time. Did you ever have anything, were you, have any connection at all with the schools in Parchman?
No, I never did.
Mm-hmm.